Hey, this is Jim McDonald. Welcome to episode 101 of the PowerCast. This episode is Chris Bell talking to us about Prescription Thugs, his new documentary, which most people will be able to see streaming online in October. He tells us about how this became a very personal journey to him relative to his own addiction. So be sure to tune in for the whole thing. We'd like to thank our sponsors for this episode, CavemanCoffeeCo.com, ThePowerMagazine.com, and of course, HowMuchABench.net. Also, we would love it, if you guys would hit up iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Now, hang on so that Silent Mike can tell you about a contest to win some apparel.
What's going on, guys? Silent Mike here. We're going to run a quick share contest. So what I need you to do is share the link to this episode on Twitter. Tag us if you can. That's at Jim McD STTV, at Mark Smelly Bell, at Silent Mike with 2 Ks, and also hashtag PowerCast for a chance to win a couple shirts from us, markbellapparel.com. So once again, all I need you to do is share this episode on the link to this episode on Twitter. Tag us all. Hashtag PowerCast, and you are entered. Thank you.
Share the shit out of it.
Flex, flex,
flex,
baby.
Flex, flex, baby.
It's even better with the sunglasses on.
All right, stop.
Can I get a hit now?
Listen, because we're back without steroid injections. Grab the bar real tightly. Lift like the Hulkster daily and nightly. Will you ever stop? No. I'll just go. Crank up the weight, and I'll grow.
It goes on and on.
Like, I'm benching 500 with the bench incline so my chest can grow.
That's amazing.
Got to get them pecs in there.
And you guys thought I only made movies. Come on.
You motherfuckers.
I'm a rapper that makes movies.
Did you learn how to rap like that at USC?
No, I learned from you.
Oh, all right.
Before you were born.
Yeah.
It's like, we really, really weird.
Yeah, we've known each other a long time.
I've known you all your life, but you haven't known me all my life.
When did we meet? How did we meet?
There's actually a video of it in Bigger, Stronger, Faster. When I'm going
oh
up to
my
the,
God.
You're in oh, like little, that's like the first
yeah.
moment?
Yeah, you're saying, what the fuck is that little piece of
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, when you landed from when you got here from the police station.
Yeah, the police station.
The police station?
That's well, that where I came
always,
from, yeah.
That was always a story. Like, we were always getting
You
mad.
Adopted from the cops?
He was our little brother. Yeah. Our little brother, so me and Mad Dog, like, you're not really our little brother. You don't even look like us. We found you at the police station.
Oh.
And then as I got older, I realized, yeah, I am a lot smarter and better looking than these guys. I must have been adopted.
You know what's so weird? We never looked like each other until, like, I don't know. Like, everybody's like, man, you guys look exactly alike. Or they'll talk to us on the phone and say, you sound just like Mark. This is so weird. And we,
I think it was
like
around
that.
The time that we both got into granny porn. That, yeah. Like, we started to, like, morph into each other.
I remember going to the Prescription Thugs
ceremony.
Premiere, ceremony. And I'm sitting, there's like, before the movie,
Prescription
I don't know,
Thugs.
200, 300 people in that lobby, yeah, by the popcorn yeah. and shit. And I started to pick out Bells. I was just yeah. with Sandy.
Who's sweating?
Well, your uncle.
Who's sweating?
I think it was your yeah. uncle walking around like a geared bencher, you know?
Yeah,
his
yeah.
shoulders are all tight. He's all rolled forward. I was like, Bell. Yeah. Bell. Yeah. Bell.
It was pretty easy to pick him
yeah.
out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like shooting fish in a barrel. Yeah,
their face rings a bell.
Yeah, your cousins mm-hmm. and like aunts, the females were a little harder. Like you
yeah, but they
me
all
kinda, one.
They all kind of look the same. If you look at them dead in the eye, they look all like my dad. They all like Sheldon.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's
bunch
pretty
of
bad.
Female Sheldons running around.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty bad.
Look them deep in the eyes. They look like Sheldon.
And then there's my cousin Steven, but he wasn't there though, was he?
Yeah, Steven came down.
I think that's the one
yeah,
I picked
yeah.
out.
Oh,
looked
yeah,
like
yeah,
a
no,
bencher.
Yeah, Steven.
Yeah, Steven's
yeah.
all like
yeah.
That's the one I picked out.
Yeah,
I was like,
that's
a bencher.
Cousin, yeah.
He's the best.
He's got gigantic calves and shit, and you're just like, he doesn't even train.
He looks like a powerlifter, but doesn't.
He looks like a powerlifter, but he's an electrician.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, I guess diabetes and powerlifting look very similar on paper.
We used to play a game called Fat Ass or Powerlifting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know how that started. Yeah. That started at Mark's powerlifting meet in Vegas. I think you might have been there.
Yeah, yeah.
When
yeah.
we were doing Bigger, Stronger, Faster.
Right,
we were shooting
yeah,
bigger.
I was there.
So the whole thing was me and my crew were in the hotel, and we were like, all you can eat buffet or powerlifter? I think I told Mark that, and then it became like a
yeah. fat ass or powerlifter.
Well, because we also used to play a game called Jacked or Gay.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
we were,
yeah.
when we were at
Gay or European too was the other
yeah.
one. That one's hard
that's
though.
Hard
that's
to
a
pick.
Tough one. Yeah.
Gay or European. So yeah. we were at the Jacked or Gay came from we were at the Olympia.
Yeah.
And we drove to the Mandalay
Michael
Bay.
Hearn.
Yeah.
Jacked or Gay. Yeah. Hey, hey now.
Can you be both?
Yeah, I think so.
He's pretty jacked, though.
Yeah,
and
well,
pretty gay.
Yeah, yeah, and pretty gay. Him and Stryker.
Hey, Stryker's a female. Come on.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't Stryker the bad guy in some movie? Marvel?
No, no. Stryker is in Airplane, right?
Stryker. And then he punches her.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
God damn.
This guy's never seen any good movies.
Radio silence. I don't know what the team.
He starts talking to me about movies yesterday.
Tell us about Laura's coffee story so we don't forget it.
Lauren.
Lauren's coffee story.
Damn,
sorry.
Get the girl's name right. Jesus. So, yeah, my girlfriend is at Starbucks the other day. And there's this guy. He's probably about.
His girlfriend, by the way, if you haven't seen her, she's beautiful. She's hot. She's short. She's got big old bombs.
She's shredded, right?
She's in good shape. So people are going to want to talk to her all the time.
Super lean and in shape. And she goes and buys, hey, can I get a venti, you know, whatever, iced coffee? So she gets an iced coffee. Doesn't even have anything in it.
Black. And straight up black coffee.
Yeah, I heard that's
how
she likes it.
Watch it with the black.
Big and black.
So this big fat guy, he's probably like 350, probably a power lifter. He looks at her and says, man, it's going to take you all day to burn that off. And she's like, what?
Yeah, she's like, you probably won't even burn that off all the way till tomorrow.
All zero calories of it?
Yeah. It was, and the guy was sitting there with like a Frappuccino.
She was so confused. She's like, there's nothing in it. Like, she tried to defend herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't reason with people
like that. Yeah, why am I getting into it, this guy?
That's awesome.
That is so weird.
There's no calories.
Isn't it crazy, though? That, I mean, that's like, those kind of things happen every day.
We get that sometimes. Mark and I just had lunch, and we're walking through the parking lot. Some guy's like looking all crippled, smoking a cigarette, like, you guys should go lift some weights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So me and Mark one time, this is like.
Imagine if you just turn around and just punch the guy. Like, I don't want you talking shit. I don't want you talking shit to me. Just don't pop him.
Don't talk to me like that.
We used to go to this place called Dairy Mart. It was like a convenience store.
Ice cream store, you fatty.
We called it Effie Mart because that's where we got our ephedrine from.
Yeah, they used to sell straight up pure ephedrine in there. We go
best
there
thing ever. So you talk about a fucking pre-workout.
Yeah. We go in there, we get ephedrine, right? And we're buying it.
It takes so much of it.
And mini-thins. There's this guy.
Goddamn mini thins.
This black
called.
Guy in like overalls, like, and he's like, hey, man, you guys deadlifters? And deadlifting that day.
Yeah.
How did this guy predict
that? Yeah, what the fuck?
Even now, that would be weird.
Were your traps
years
all
ago,
pumped up? Or
no, what? I mean, we didn't look like deadlifters. I mean, like,
yeah, what does a deadlifter look like?
That's like that other time we were in.
You're pretty squatty. You know, I'd say, hey, what are you doing, a bunch of squats? You know, it's kind of funny.
We were in
deadlifts. It was weird.
We were in East Coast Gym, and that guy came up to us, this giant guy with a giant gold tooth, and he's like, he's giant. He looks super scary. He comes up. He goes, hey, you guys powerlifters? With a lisp. And then we just saw his gold tooth go, shing. So that was always a joke. Like, hey, you guys powerlifters?
You guys powerlifters? And then a big, giant fucking gold tooth.
Mike Tyson?
He was the biggest, meanest looking guy. And he had a ponytail. And he, you know, had a wife beater tank top on. And
that gold tooth jacked. Really accentuates your lisp. It's awesome.
I can't wait to get. If you had a lisp, like the last thing you'd do is go out and get a gold tooth.
Yeah, call up more attention to your mouth.
Yeah, big old fat stomach. Does and belly button ring?
Belly button ring.
Hey, watch it, man. I did that for you.
Sorry.
I thought you told me I was going to be in a slingshot ad with a slingshot and a belly button
belly
ring.
Belly button ring.
Only for your tits.
Hey, my
your tits and your belly button are in the same spot. Hey, now.
Tit ring.
They're not enhanced.
Oh, my God. So, why do we have you here? What are you doing?
We're here to talk about the new thing.
Did you invite yourself on this podcast? I don't think you were scheduled in.
Oh, the thing that we're not supposed to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, one more thing about ephedrine is that the reason why we'd stop there is because of motherfucking Bill Phillips.
Oh.
Bill Phillips would write about the ECA stack.
Yeah.
Which was
ephedrine, caffeine,
and aspirin.
Aspirin.
That sounds so unhealthy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bill.
Yeah, I get the caffeine and ephedrine thing.
Yeah,
but then later we got aspirin. Why, all of a sudden that's unhealthy. I get the ephedrine, which makes your heart race, and the caffeine.
Grapefruit was supposed to be in there.
You can take any aspirin dose for once, like just one time, and get internal bleeding.
Well, you know what the reason for the aspirin was? To thin your blood so that it would all rush through your system.
Sounds healthy.
Somehow there's grapefruit in there too, or is that just Kai Green?
Whoa.
Hey now. Hey now.
We went to the Quickie Mart and grabbed ephedrine and grapefruit to start our lifting career.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Did you ever see that?
There goes our shot of Kai Green coming on the show. Thanks, Mark. Yeah.
Kai Green's awesome.
Hey, somebody tries to impregnate fruit, we got to talk about it. You know what I mean?
That was just, you know, it's funny. It's like that's what people did, you know, back in the day.
Maybe
like,
he said, you know what? People always say you can't compare apples and oranges. And he said, fuck it. You can.
And he
I'm
did.
Gonna just fuck it. Yeah, fuck it. I'm going to disprove everybody right now.
Yeah, remember I found that website and I got obsessed with this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was disgusting.
I got obsessed with this website and
he
I'm like, oh.
Pictures left
like,
and right.
Of all this, found, like, he, it was a website about gay for pay.
Oh, my God.
And there's all these different stars that everybody would know.
He's texting me and Mark for about a week.
I'm like, oh, check out this picture.
Like, you didn't know this bodybuilder was gay.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You want to see who's gay?
Oh, look how funny this is. This guy's in a G-string. This no, guy's everybody's doing this
gonna,
with this guy.
Everybody's going to ask me what the website is as soon as I post this.
He'll remember. Don't ask.
I don't remember what the website was, but I think.
But you remember looking at the guys.
Yeah, you saw so many pictures and links you were sending us. Like, no, you said, hey.
I sent you Cali Muscle in a G-string. Yeah. And a thong. Yeah. Cali Muscle and a thong was awesome.
Now, for the record, that's not necessarily gay.
No. No, it's not.
I mean, you know.
It's not gay at all.
It's a choice.
You know who's gay. The guy downloading the pictures.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. The guy who's trying to show everybody else, trying to sell everybody else down the river.
And text him to you.
Yeah.
If you're watching it with one hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
these guys are like me. They're gay.
No, I think I forgot how it started.
No, they're not.
He said you're gay. Yeah, he sent
you notice how Jim McDee over here, he's like, you know, everybody's going to ask me for that. Nobody's going to ask me for the fucking link.
Everybody, meaning himself. No. Yeah, of course.
Literally everything that we talk about that I do not provide a link for, people are like, can I get a link for that thing? Like when we talked about Meatspin.
Yeah.
What do you know about Meatspin, Boar?
Nflip.
Meatspin.com.
I don't even know what it is.
Go there later.
Nflip.com.
Nflip, yes.
Yeah.
What is that?
Bring it up, Jim.
We'll show it later.
All right.
Don't bring it up.
Nah, you might as well watch it.
Yeah,
you
might as well.
What about this? What do we got going on over here?
Bo Jackson. I think you posted something about Bo Jackson the other day.
Bo Jackson.
So everybody that doesn't know about how awesome Bo Jackson is because they didn't have Tecmo Bowl. This guy right here.
That's why he's awesome.
This guy right here had some learning disabilities growing up. I think the only book. Oh my God.
That's me, Ben.
Oh my God, the music is playing.
No.
I don't think I'm
this. You sat through 24 seconds of.
Yeah, yeah. How long? Yeah. I could watch this for days. I don't see the problem.
It's sort of like riding a bull. How long can you stay on?
No, I think that's gay. Like, what's going on in the picture is gay.
We watched this with Drew and Chrissy May, and I think it was like 13,000, 14,000.
I'd like to officially announce my retirement from the podcast.
The pubes are really nice.
I'm officially.
I got to say, it's like, and why is there, so is it a tranny? Because why is there a tan line? It must be a tranny, right?
No truth to the rumor that it's Caitlyn Jenner.
Okay, it might be, but there's definitely a tan line.
Yeah, those are definitely kind of women's hips, I would say.
Yeah, but
too.
This is the other one that you have to see.
They put the junk on that good?
Yeah. So anybody that doesn't know, we're talking about Bo Jackson. The only book you ever read, right, was Bo Knows Bo.
Bo Knows Bo.
And you probably read it in like 30 seconds because you were interested, and I think that's a...
I love Bo.
Whoa.
There's end flip. That's you ever really trying this with
that's
Lauren?
That's impressive. Tell me that's not impressive.
Hey, what's that? Hey, what move is that called? Hold on. In wrestling.
Sunset flip.
There we go.
Sunset.
That's what I said.
Sunset flip. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Lauren kicked out.
Yeah, kicked out. Yeah.
She kicked out.
And how do you kick out, though? How do you kick out of it?
Just turn.
No, you can't just turn. How do you kick out of sunset flip?
You gotta roll him, right?
Oh, you clip.
Yeah, you clip the ears. Yeah, boom. You bring your feet together. Clip the ears, and the guy holds the ears.
It's a whole thing.
It's a psychology.
I don't get it. I was watching Tough Enough last night.
Yeah, those people are like, I didn't watch wrestling growing up. And it's like, get out of here.
Yeah, I watched
You're not a powerlifter.
Speaking of which, a shout out goes to our boy John Cena for sending us some autographed gear for one of the kids that we know. And we were able to deliver the...
It's the most exciting thing this morning.
Deliver the goods to the kid today, and he just flipped. It was fucking awesome.
Here's the best thing.
Is that your friend's son you showed me?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, who every day he plays the song and comes down the stairs like
that's
he's
hilarious.
Fucking entering the ring.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's my deadlift PR song.
Yeah.
I was in the back seat with Jake. And we're like, oh, here comes the little kid. Here he comes.
He's at like a camp.
Waiting for him to come out, and all of a sudden he comes out, and he's in a total Captain America outfit with a. And Jake just starts dying laughing. It's amazing. Jake's like, ah.
That's great.
But I think it was Superhero Day there.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the mom gave him all the John Cena stuff, he goes, I am so changing, because he wanted to be.
He's like,
John
I gotta
Cena
put this
was like
shit
real
on
super. Yeah, he's like, I am so changing. Yeah, he's like cool. Five, right?
It was cool to see somebody that, you know, generally fired up about something. It was neat.
Yeah, it was like the first time you went to the gym.
Oh, my God.
The people on Tough Enough sucked, man. I should have tried out.
You know what? That's the thing. I feel the deal with, like, the Ultimate Fighter and Tough Enough and all these things is, like, you're not going to find people that are – that. Like, if we'd had a show about, like, let's find the greatest powerlifter, it wouldn't be a show that you find that guy. Like, yeah. These people that are –
that's not
that
a bad show idea.
These people that are animals come out of the woodwork. Like, yeah. All of a sudden, like – you'll like there'd be a powerlifter you never heard of, and all of a sudden next day, like, did you see so and so do this, you know, 1,000-pound right. deadlift out of friggin' nowhere? Like, that's where people come from because they genuinely have a passion for it.
No.
You're not gonna find people on a TV show like that. Like Tough Enough and those shows like The Ultimate Fighter, every once in a while they get a good guy.
I was gonna say Ultimate Fighter does okay, but they've never had
I don't know if has Ultimate Fighter had anybody that just dominated though? I don't think so.
Isn't a bunch of guys have been like
Chris Lieben, he did really
TJ.
Well, and he was in there.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, a bunch of
but he
guys.
Wasn't dominant.
No,
wasn't like you figure
you don't
like,
find the best, but
you find
good.
If you had a show like Ultimate Fighter, you'd get some guy in there just whoop everybody's ass. You know, but those guys that whoop everybody's ass, they don't have to go on those shows. They just it's like American
true.
Idol.
But I think powerlifting though, you may find somebody. Because you hear so many stories of guys that they don't even know like what a good deadlift is. And
it's amazing. Like I was when we were doing this Ed Cohn videos and stuff like that. I was like watching powerlifting. I was telling Mark like I've become like more of a fan of powerlifting again just through doing those videos with Ed because we loved him so much as a kid. And I'm watching like George Lehman do deadlifts in his basement in front of like an old tube TV.
Yeah.
And he's pulling like
with that other kid screaming at him with
and,
the shirt
and,
off.
And so then I
That's
went
a classic
and watched,
video.
I went and watched like every George Lehman
yeah,
video
hilarious.
After that. And I didn't even really know about him.
Deadlifted 906 or something
in
the
competition.
Other day. Well, the other
oh,
day
for
four,
like,
four reps. Yeah.
What
yeah.
the fuck?
The best yeah, thing is there was
so
one where
the title is best deadlift set ever, and that might be.
Yeah. And he did a deadlift, and then his wife or his girlfriend ran out of the crowd, and she was jacked too, and she like jumps on him. It's like,
yeah, that might be Lehman.
I think it was in the video. Yeah.
You know who that girlfriend is?
Who?
Tessa Urbank, Vince Urbank's sister, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Vince Urbank deadlifts 900 as well.
Yeah, Vince Urbank. He's a strong man, right?
Yeah, was. He might also be on that website you were talking about.
Which one?
One of the various websites that we mentioned today. It's possible.
Yeah. Really?
Huh. <Yeah. laughs> Oh, I haven't quite seen that yet.
Oh, really?
I know.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
All right, let's shift gears here for a second.
Oh, really?
Let's talk about prescription thugs, because it was pretty goddamn cool going to the NYC and... kicking it and watching you do your thing and watching your film. You know, I didn't see it until I saw it. I didn't see any previews. I didn't see any like outtakes or clips or I didn't see nothing. So I didn't know exactly everything that was going to be in there. But it was pretty goddamn awesome to see, and it was great to it was just awesome to go to the Tribeca Film Festival and see my big bro doing some shit. That might be your friend at the door.
It might be my friend from Gold's Gym.
Yeah.
Okay. We had somebody at the door here at Super Training. I think that...
Well, you guys were all there. First of all, thank you guys for coming out.
Well, you're welcome. And it was really awesome. And as I told you at the time, you made me fucking cry. You made all of us cry because, that Mad Dog footage that we hadn't seen before was... It was shocking to see it, and I think maybe Mark was anticipating a little bit because we did a Periscope session on our way to the movie, and we loaded up on Blue Monster and vodka, and Mark doesn't drink, so I think he was a little bit nervous about what he might see, and I think
that was disgusting, by the way.
It was really awful.
It's like, hey, let's have some vodka and go and watch this movie about addiction.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make much sense.
It was as much irony as we could muster, I think.
You know, I think the thing with that movie, it was a really tough movie to make. Halfway through the film, I don't want to ruin anything, but I mean, I just got to tell everybody, halfway through the film, I realized I was still a drug addict and an alcoholic. And the drug addiction drove the alcoholism. Just because, like, when I couldn't have pills or couldn't get pills, I always felt like I needed something.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing. Like,
you need like a foreign stimulus of some sort, just kind of like get through the day kind of thing.
Yeah, just like some way of like putting yourself in an altered state so that you don't have to deal with life, right? And the thing was, like, it's the most freeing thing to be free of addiction. It's amazing. Like I don't need caffeine now. I don't need anything anymore. Mm. You know, I always thought I needed something. I need this. I need that. I gotta have it.
What do you think made you think that you needed that? Were you depressed or something? Or
I think
or
life,
scared.
I think life. Whatever. I think society. Like that's a big thing that I put in the movie is society. Like everywhere we go, somebody's telling you like. You know,
it's just easy to fall into those traps.
Well,
you know?
And also the worlds that I put myself in. Like think what we did. Yeah. We put ourselves in. Okay, let's go to Gold's Gym, Venice, the best gym, like the gym where everybody's jacked and tan. So I got to look like that. If I don't look like that, I'm going to be depressed. If I don't train like those guys, you know, lift with those guys lift, I'm going to be depressed.
Yeah, and then, drive the same car. All
yeah,
that
and then, and then you put yourself in Hollywood too. It's like I put a lot of pressure on myself, you know, right off the bat,
right.
and I realize that sometimes. All that shit, like doing that video with Ed Cohn to me was just as gratifying as doing any movie I did because
I
fucking loved Ed Cohn. Like as a kid, I thought he was amazing. And so while I was doing that video and sitting there editing it at points, I was getting like choked up watching it just because like this is fucking Ed Cohn and like I get to shoot this and I get to do that. And so it's so funny what we think, you know, when we think, oh, I got to make a movie. I got to do this. I got to do that. I get the same satisfaction out of doing a YouTube video or providing entertainment for people in any format, you know?
Right.
Well, sometimes it's just comes down to doing your own fucking thing your own way. And with a movie, even though, you know, Prescription Thugs is yours and Bigger, Stronger, Faster is yours, there's a lot of people involved.
Yeah, there's a lot of
you
people.
You know, YouTube, it's like, you know, you and I go back and forth maybe once or twice and we say, all right, let's roll with that.
There,
you know,
there's
it's
a
not
lot
really.
More, there's a lot more freedom in that, too. Like, when I do a movie, it's like when I was doing Prescription Thugs, I'll give you examples. Like, there was things that I wanted in there so bad, but nobody else wanted to listen to me.
Yeah, sorry,
Mike. I'm only the director.
We tried everything we could.
My butt's in there. I'm changing the music.
But that's the thing. Glutes. Is like, no matter what, is there's things you want in there. You think there's things you want added. And in YouTube or whatever, you can do whatever the hell you want. You know.
Yeah.
And you don't have to limit it. Like, oh, I got to make it. Like, if you're doing a movie, if I was doing an interview with Ed Cohn and it was going to be in a movie, it would probably be only that section where he got emotional.
Right.
That's all you would have seen is like a little intro to him.
Which
and
apparently made everybody cry.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for some people didn't like the music. And that was a tough choice. Like, I put a little music in there and it was kind of soft and whatever. And it was like a choice. And then, like, I see on YouTube, you go on and, like, the comments are like, well, fuck that music. And you're like, oh, man, like.
You can't make anybody happy with music. You can't. Just let go of it. Just let go of that.
Yeah. You know, it's like if you put music in the whole thing, but the thing was like an hour long. So it's like now I'd have to have somebody score
the whole thing. Yeah.
You know, parts of it. It's not even worth it.
It's also kind of like the one comment. You know, it's like it's there'll be, you know, 2,000 comments. In like, I don't know, 99% of them are positive, and then there's like one or two.
Yeah, but who focuses on the positive?
Yeah,
you focus on the negative, which takes us back to what you were saying about needing something all the time. Because, like, I mean, I think we all suffer from having that critical voice in our head all the time, and one way to shut it up is to take something, you know, smoke something, whatever. I think that's why people
smoke
regular cigarettes too.
People,
you know?
People use this cliche of like be the best you, but it's really all you can do. And I was telling Mark on the way here, like I heard on this radio show the other day, it was kind of like an amazing advice. It's like, do what you're good at and don't waste your time focusing on what you're not good at and focus on what you're good at. Like, I'm not good at powerlifting anymore, so I have to become a fan of it. And I have to stick to what I'm fucking good at, which is like making films and entertaining people and telling the truth. And so that's what I've learned over the years is like focus on the things I'm good at and be happy with it, you know?
Right.
Like, if I was good at accounting, I shouldn't try to be a filmmaker. And like a lot of people in Hollywood do that. There's a lot of people that are just terrible filmmakers that are trying to do it, but they're not that good at it, and they have to just focus on what they are good at. You know,
you can spend a lot of time, you know, refining that too.
Yeah,
you know, the more you work on it. I mean, Chad Wesley Smith said something so simple when he was here. He said, you know, if you have trouble with the squat, like a lot of people have trouble coming out of the bottom of the squat, he's like, spend more time there. You have a weak spot in the job that you're doing, and you want to be a little bit better at it. Try to spend more time.
It's really
that
simple. And if you're a storyteller or a filmmaker, my advice to anybody, you know, in that field is just like, just write. If you can't figure out how to make the film, like just keep writing and you'll become good at it. You'll become better at it. You know,
your movie explored like a lot of the things that are wrong, you know, with, I guess, like society and with, you know, the pharmaceutical companies and kind of just the way things are like set up. But what are some like positive things, if there is any, that you learned? Is there some good help out there that people can get? Like, you know, I know the help that you received was kind of on another level than what might be
yeah, I went to
accessible
a place.
Accessible for other people, but you have some advice.
Well,
on
you know,
that?
Like it's both the good and the bad. I went to a place called Cliffside Malibu that's $60,000 a month, and I was lucky enough that Richard Tate, who was in my movie, paid for me to go there. He just said, "Hey, this is my place. I want you here." Mm-hmm. And I went there for 10 days, and after 10 days, they didn't have room for me anymore because it's a business and they have to make money. So they sent me to a place called Claire Foundation, which is a government run facility. And when I got there, I had all this shit with me. I had like all these suitcases of clothes and shoes, and they're like, okay, you can take 4 pairs of pants and 4 shirts.
Right.
And you take 4 pairs of underwear and 4 pairs of socks, and that's all you can bring in, and a hat. I'm like, wait a second. I have all. So I had to go through all my stuff and pick out.
I got
out
all my shit. And you didn't have your phone, right?
Even... No. They take your phone. They take everything from you. And you're stuck in this place where people have just gotten out of jail. When I went in there, the first thing I saw was this guy with dreadlocks scratching his nuts. Mm-hmm. And he had a cane in one hand and his nuts in the other hand. And he's yelling, hey, man, the pillows are too hard in here. I can't get any sleep. And he's yelling at the counselor. And the counselor's like, dude, chill out. Like, just go in the other room. And it was a very industrial, very there was 40 guys living in one room. It's like 40 bunk beds in a room this size.
Wow.
So it was not pleasant. It wasn't nice. And what I learned there was like, man, I don't fucking want this. Like, this isn't what I want out of life. Yeah. I want to live in the slingshot mansion. You know, like I want, that's what I want. I want good things. I want happy things. You have a beautiful family. You have a beautiful house. You have a beautiful car. And those things are important, you know, in my happiness, because those are the things I want. I want to achieve greatness. I don't want to achieve, you know, mediocrity or
hanging
whatever.
Out with 40 people that just got out of the joint.
You as an example was fucking amazing. Like when I came up here, when I had a really bad, you know, addiction problem, I came up here, sat with my parents, sat with my brother, and they like just had a conversation with me, and I'm like, I don't want this anymore. Like I want great things for my life. I don't want to be a fucking loser, you know? And because that's what I was. I was like somebody who had like great talent. I fucking threw it all in the garbage.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult when you have an addiction, you know, like you have something that's clearly blocking, you know, your vision. But, you know, one thing I wonder is, you know, a lot of musicians and a lot of filmmakers and stuff. You kind of always hear, you know, this guy was high when he wrote this and this guy was. You think that assisted your creativity at all, or you think you're more clear now?
I would say, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to go home and write, and I would end up going home, having a couple of drinks.
And just eating chocolate and falling asleep?
Going on Pornhub or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what it ends up being. What it ends up being is something that you're, you know, in the beginning when I wrote my movie Billy Jones, my first short film I ever did, I sat with a bottle of Jack Daniels and wrote that, and I was in college at the time, and I was young, and I could rebound from that stuff, and I was like, okay, cool. And then I had that association with like, when I write, I need to drink. And then the drinking took over. And especially with the pills, like when you take these prescription pills, Vicodin, Percocet, Oxycontin, all these things, you just sort of lose track of everything going on and you don't care about anything, you know? So it's like, that's a dangerous, you know, they say slippery slope. That's you know, it's like you start doing it because you think,
how
does
somebody like identify that it's like an issue? Because I think
if it affects your life,
everyone's been drunk, you know,
if it affects your life. You know, if
spills over to the next day kind of thing, you can't get to your job on time.
Yeah, you don't get to your job on time, or you don't you start what you do is you start isolating. And so it would be like, I wouldn't want anybody to come over my house. I wouldn't want to hang out with anybody. Somebody, hey, you want to go to a movie tonight? I'd be like, no, that's okay, because I really wanted to go home and drink.
Right.
That's a problem. You know, that's when it becomes a problem. When it starts affecting other things in your life. And I think most people, I think only 10% of the people that pick up a drug or alcohol end up becoming an alcoholic or a drug addict. So it's not like it's not like it's everybody. It's not like and when people used to say, like, I'd meet guys like Silent Mike all the time, and be like, I'm a power lifter, I don't drink. I'd be like, man, how do you do that? Like, that I wish I could do that. Like, I don't have the fucking willpower.
You know what's the worst about that though is people get so mad when you say that. You know, they try to put so much pressure on you.
Yeah, that's another
when
thing.
Someone doesn't drink. I mean, you know, it's admirable, really, nowadays, for somebody to say, you know what, I'm not eating that fucking cake. I'm not fucking having that drink.
The best thing that anybody said at the Q&A, I know he talked for hours and he's fucking huge, so they just let him. Mike Rashid got up, but the one sentence. He gave a big speech, and it was pretty awesome. But the one thing that he said I think we can all take away from this is we need to make being sober cool.
Yeah.
Like, we need to make, like, you want kids to look up to people like you and Mike and these guys and say, like, I want to do that. I want to achieve greatness. I want to achieve great things. You know, I don't want to be some mediocre guy, you know, and And being sober is part of that. You know, make it cool.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that a lot of people have that potential to become an addict to one thing or another. And if you're never exposed to it, or if you never really go down that road, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get caught up in that. And some people have just bits and pieces of it, you know, and those are the people who can become like casual drinkers and not have a problem. But
the most,
how do you know? I mean, it's a minefield.
The most beautiful thing about all of this, about everything that happened and everything that went down, sort of with Bigger, Stronger, Faster, I get, you know, people hit me up every day wanting advice or saying, hey, thanks for making that movie or whatever. But now I have a way to reach out to people and to help people with addiction problems, because just like Bigger, Stronger, Faster, nobody ever wanted to talk about steroids, but they see me and I became like the confession booth, you know, at Catholic
man,
church.
I tried some D-ball.
Yeah, hey, man, look, I got to talk to you, man. I tried to, and it was all like that. And so now people come up to me all the time and said, listen, I have a family member that has an addiction problem. I have an addiction problem. And I can help them. I can turn them on to things like Mark was talking about, like, where do you get help? The one place you can get help all the time and it's free is AA. And Alcoholics Anonymous is not just for alcoholics. It's for drug addicts and everything. There is Narcotics Anonymous. There is Cocaine Anonymous. There's all these other programs. But I think really, like, the basis of it all is like Alcoholics Anonymous. And a lot of people have a problem with it because they're not religious, and that definitely deals with some religion. Mm-hmm. But it's really all about believing in something bigger than yourself. If that something bigger than yourself is where you want to be in life, then that's your higher power. You know, so like, it's really simple. It's really, you know, there's a lot of fucking amazing people that I've met in AA. I'll get text on my phone, "Hey man, how you doing today?" And I'm like, "Oh, who's this?" And it's like, "Oh, this is Paul from AA." And I'm like, yeah, what do
Paul,
you...
Paul, you're not anonymous anymore. Sorry, buddy.
that's just a name I use. But it's like, wait, what do you want? Do you need help moving? Do you need help? Is there something
just checking in on you.
No, just checking in to say hi. It's because in that program, you sort of learn how to actually just love people. And the way society should be is it's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it gives you a way to feel like you're working on it all the time, too.
Yeah.
So you don't lose that connection from trying to overcome.
Yeah. And with me, I was lucky. I mean, I had what they call a spiritual awakening. And that sort of happened 3 days in to the whole thing. I thought about Mad Dog. You know, I thought about my brother and how he passed away. Fucking 37 years old is so young. You know, when he died, I thought like, oh, well, at least he lived to 37. And then I got to 37. I'm like, whoa, man, if my life got cut short here. You know,
I'd be really bummed.
You just have so much more to do.
Right.
And if I knew, you know, I know I don't blame myself and I don't feel guilty, but if I knew what I knew about addiction back then, if I went through it first and got out of it, but I might have not gotten out of it. I think I could have helped Mad Dog a lot, and I think a lot of people could have helped him. But you can't go blaming yourself and kicking yourself, you know.
You can't rewrite
everything
time.
Happens for a reason.
You can't turn back time, rewrite history.
And God has a purpose for us all, and maybe
he helped you.
Maybe his purpose was to help me so I can help other people. You know, who knows?
Do you think his passing kind of led you down a darker path, or did it not have a ton to do with it?
It led me down a really dark path, because when he died, and this is one thing I do feel guilty about, when he died, I was taking a lot of pills.
Right.
You know, I had just come off my second hip replacement surgery, so I had pills at my disposal like crazy. And when he died, it was just like this subliminal thing of like, you know, he died. I don't even care. Like, I didn't even fucking cry.
And
the reason I didn't cry was because I was on pills and I didn't
feel anything.
I didn't feel it, right? So I didn't feel it. And then, like, I don't know, maybe 2 years after he died, one day I just started bawling crazy and just crying about it and going, you know, like, why did it have to happen to him? Like, fuck, you know, and going like, kicking myself for like, why was I high during that time? Because I wish I would have felt it more. I wish maybe I was there for my family more. I don't even know if I was or not, because I don't remember a lot of it. You know, it was just kind of a blur, you know?
Yeah. You lived a lot closer to him at that point. I think he was in like the Huntington Beach area. You were in LA, and you guys were always closer because you're a lot closer in age, like a year and a half apart or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, with him though, he was just, you know, I mean, from the time he was a kid, there was always just something a little off. He always seemed a little self-destructive. So the way I'm able to kind of carry on with it without getting too upset is just, you know, what would his life still be like? It would just be so compromised. He didn't like to live by anybody's rules.
Yeah.
Whether it was taking a drug or telling somebody to go fuck themselves. Like, he wasn't a good fit, you know?
Yeah. And one thing that you told me that was just kind of amazing, I was like, how did you do this? Like, you know, when Mad Dog died, you know, you didn't have all this. You really didn't have much of anything, you know. And you said, well, when the one thing about Mad Dog was he didn't take any shit from anybody.
Right.
If somebody says, hey, I don't like that shirt, he'd punch him in the face. He wouldn't even stop to question it. Yeah. He wouldn't say, wait, why don't you like my? He would just boom, right? Yeah. And so what Mark said to me was, I learned not to take any shit from anybody, and this is my world, and people are going to live by my. This is the way I want to live, and these are my rules, and I find that very admirable. Like you sort of went this way, and I went this way, but I feel like I needed to go this way to come back to where I am. Like Eminem actually says it in a song that's about addiction and recovery, and I never noticed it when he said it, but you listen to the song, I'm Not Afraid. It's all about his addiction and recovery.
Right.
And in the beginning, he says, maybe I had to go to that place to get to this place. And that's
well, and that makes sense. And I think that the experience with Mad Dog kind of showed you where the darkness was.
Yeah.
And you then became kind of probably fascinated by it a little bit. It's like, how did this happen? How did this happen to Mad Dog? Mm-hmm. And just kept going that direction, not consciously, intentionally.
I think subconsciously, when we were doing Prescription Thugs, I was like, yeah, let's go out and make this movie. Let's make this movie about addiction and show everybody what happened to Mad Dog and how I went through it. But the thing was, I wasn't sober from alcohol. I was only sober from the pills. So I had stopped the pill addiction. And then when I went back to the alcohol, and the alcohol got worse and worse as I'm doing this movie, there was a lot of in filmmaking, there's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of, here, we're going to give you the money to make it, but then you got to wait 6 months to get the freaking money. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there and you're broke and you're fucking bored and you just want to, get things rolling. You just want to do what you love to do.
Yeah.
And nobody's letting you do it, because the people that are sort of –
you get frustrated, upset.
The people that are holding the ball have dropped the ball and take forever to get anything done. Your contracts and all these other things you're waiting on. So you just get bored and depressed and sad and you just start drinking or doing whatever, because – you need something to fill up the time, right?
And you're questioning yourself, like, how did I get into this business that, puts me on hold for this long?
Yeah.
I could be accomplishing other things.
But what I learned through addiction and recovery is like, hey, don't wait around for the next, people are like, why are you doing YouTube videos with your brother? You make movies. I'm like, because it's fucking awesome. I love doing it. He's got a great channel. He's doing stuff that nobody else does. And I don't have to wait around to do shit. Because I can just come up here and shoot stuff and I have fun doing it. So, that's what I'm doing now is, just not waiting on anybody. Like, if I have to come, if I come and do stuff with you guys and it's
people
fun
are
it's
waiting
awesome,
all who, the time for shit that's just never going to happen. They're waiting for a big sponsor. They're waiting for
I said to somebody, I might go up to Sacramento for a while and work with my brother and, do all these great things on with his YouTube channel and, help blow that up. People are like, why do you do that? You're going to give up on your dream of making movies, and that's not giving up at all. What that's doing is learning from experience. Like, the more I work my craft every day, the better I'll be. And then when it's time, I'll do what I want to do, and not have to do it by anybody
YouTube
else's
is fucking
rules.
Amazing. It's free.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like I told you, I was at Gold's Gym, and, I've made three movies and sold three movies. And I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, Mike, Dom from Bro Science, pulls up in a fucking Aston Martin, the nicest car, the nicest car in the entire parking lot of Gold's Gym Venice.
Is a YouTube guy. Yeah.
Who's great at what he does.
He's
awesome and fucking hilarious.
Kicking everyone's ass.
Oh, yeah. And just a nice guy.
He's a pro.
He deserves everything he gets.
Yeah. Well, people talk about YouTube as it's some janky thing, but YouTubers are fucking pros.
YouTube doesn't talk about YouTube like that. That's for sure.
Yeah. I'm like, look at the guy in Aston Martin who's very successful, working his craft every day and doing what he does, which will probably lead him to a TV show or a movie deal.
Yeah, something.
And then look at my shitty Dodge Durango that I banged up on drugs trying to make documentaries that, tell the truth. It's like...
It may or may not lead to a TV show, but guess what? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Well, he's already very successful.
Basically, he has a TV show.
And I'll tell you the thing is.
He's got the skill for it, that's for sure.
The thing is with Mike is he's such a happy guy. He's happy. Yeah. He loves what he does and he's happy with it. And that's what
the guy turned.
The Aston Martin's not important. The whole thing is.
Yeah. He turned potato chips into mashed potatoes. I love him. My favorite guy.
They were Quest potato chips, weren't they?
I think so. Yeah, he threw them in a bowl and then threw some water on them. He's like, these are fucking outstanding.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get him up here.
He's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that would be. Actually, we get that's a request that we get all the time.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. He hit me up a while back, and we just continue to communicate.
Basically, Smelly always drops the ball.
Yeah. Schedule.
It's hard. You said you have a burden on you and a pressure on you. There's a lot of stuff on your plate,
Scheduling's hard, just to try to get – we have a lot of people coming here.
Well, and everyone's busy. The guys we have here aren't just schmucks. They're all busy.
Yeah.
Well, the question, too, is do we get the real guy or do we get the character? and which is the best way to go?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know.
Well, I think you do a little bit of both. You do some little, you know, shoot some little videos that are funny and maybe talk to him about real deal stuff on the show or something.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Don't tell us what to do. Like,
ask
you're a director or something.
Ask the fans.
Hmm.
That's a good question.
Did you say you had some questions?
Well, bottom line, Prescription Thugs, just so I can keep plugging them.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Prescription Thugs will probably be released in October. So that's what the plan is.
Okay.
By the way, I never. The one thing that surprised me about the movie was you coming out of the closet midway through. I was like, "Holy shit!
I can't like boys."
Oh, am I giving away too much?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
But see, that was the drugs talking.
Oh. Okay.
So when you're on stuff, you're gay.
When you're hammered,
otherwise,
like, I love dick.
Yeah, the part where I cut all my hair off and everything.
Okay,
that was like weird. Yeah, that was
just the phase.
Yeah,
the dick phase.
That was actually a flashback.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Flashback, huh?
I have no idea. Silent Mike's like creeping away from me.
What are some of the I mentioned? You know, some of the ways that where we mentioned some of the ways people can get help. What are some of just the kind of the pitfalls of not necessarily alcohol, because it's a little bit of a separate thing, but the prescription drug kind of game? Like what's how do people fall into these traps? And
most people get hurt, and that's very applicable to your audience. Like most people get hurt, they tear
their back out.
Yeah, they tear their shoulder and go in your gym and ask guys who has pills. People are like, oh yeah, when I hurt my leg, I got doctor gave me this bunch, and a lot of people don't have a problem with it. But when I got pills, I don't
understand how severe it can be.
I didn't have a problem with it either. A good friend of ours, Chris Masters, I remember Mad Dog said, I remember when he got it, when he took his first pain pill.
Yeah.
And he was such an addict. He was doing like 60 pills a day.
Ooh.
And,
holy shit.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I remember, his girlfriend telling me, Chris, when he was with Randy Orton and they were doing pills and he fell through that glass table, that's when I just said, I'm done. And I had to leave. That kid has gotten like so clean. It's like amazing. It's amazing to see him now. It's like, it's so amazing to see these people come out of these crazy addictions that that you think of like, oh man, he's never going to come out of that. That kid is wrestling every single week all around the world. And it's kind of amazing. He's playing by his own rules. He's kind of doing better now than he was when he was in WWE because he had to live by their rules, you know? Mm. So it's kind of it's amazing to see people come out of
it. I'm sure, like, you know, each person's kind of a little bit guilty in this whole thing, the pharmaceutical company, the doctor, and I'm sure, like, even the patient. But what do you see as, like, the main problem? Like, what's the main issue?
Well, the main issue is that we're pushed drugs for everything. You know, right. We were just talking about it before at breakfast. Like, you know, we're pushed, like, statin drugs. And statin drugs, there's been no correlation between high cholesterol.
Lowering your cholesterol.
Like, high cholesterol and heart attacks. It's like, that correlation... The correlation is...
Well, Stan Efferding was just on the show, and he told us to eat cholesterol strong.
Eating cholesterol and your cholesterol are unrelated, too, they think now.
Right. Yeah, the problem is that... Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, it's all like genetic.
Yeah, so...
And lack of exercise.
What the problem is, when you block cholesterol, you also block testosterone because your body can't make testosterone. So a lot of the things and the protocols for prescribing have come from people being scared to death. Like, if you went in and you had high cholesterol... The doctor would write you a prescription for a cholesterol medication. Now, whether you take it or not, he has to write that because according to the American Medical Association, somebody comes in with high cholesterol, you have to write them the prescription. So like the whole system – a
couple studies prove that it works a certain way, and that's what you prescribe.
The whole system's messed up from the top to the bottom, but where it really – where the onus – like the where the pressure should be is on Congress and on the government. The government doesn't do anything about this because every single elected official in Congress took about $435,000 on average. Why would you change it?
Right.
Because people are dying. Well, I don't care if people are dying. There's steroids in baseball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What the fuck? Like, that's what our government does.
Right.
It's like, let's put the pressure.
Now, one thing to point out, though, is that people aren't dying from statin drugs necessarily, right?
Not really.
But I mean, they're not dying from the drugs that were pushed through television necessarily. It's more of like what the painkillers and things like that are hurting people. But those are not advertised to us, correct?
Yeah, and the reason why you never see a commercial for
like Oxycontin.
Oxycontin is because
everybody would go crazy.
Well, no.
I got tons of pain.
Yeah, no, people see people seek these things out. Right. So what the drug companies need to do, but I think people are dying being on, like, they're basically on stacks,
right,
like, of drugs.
They're, pharmacology.
They're on a whole bunch of different drugs, and those drugs interacting with each other definitely kill a lot of older people.
Yeah.
So, but what I'm saying is, like, you don't see advertisements for the drugs that work because they don't need to push those drugs to you.
Right.
You know, they don't. Yeah. So they don't need to push OxyContin because they sell so much of it.
Right.
And if you look at the stats, when people say, like, oh, this is, you know, this is a conspiracy theory, blah, blah. So OxyContin, you used to be able to crush it up and inject it. Right.
Right.
And or you could crush it up and you could snort it.
Silent Mike does that every Friday.
Yeah. And what it would do,
is
hit your system a lot quicker.
Yeah.
When they took that, when the government said, well, you have to create drugs that you can't crush up and snort, OxyContin lost 80% of its business.
Wow.
80%, which means to show you what, that only 20% of the people were actually using it properly.
Right.
And 80% were using it.
Or even less. Yeah.
80% were abusing it.
It's probably less because OxyContin is not supposed to be a long-term drug. It's supposed to be a short-term drug. Or for
– that's the other problem.
Or a hospice drug.
Yeah.
And so that's 6 months.
My doctor had put me on, you know, Vicodin and Percocet and those things. And that's fine. Like, that, I had pain. I was in pain. And I don't want to discourage people from when they're in pain. They need to take pain medication.
Right.
And to take it for a specific amount of time and get off of it. But I was so addicted to the drugs that I was put on a drug called Suboxone. I saw people recovering from heroin, doing 50 bags of heroin a day, which is a lot, and get off of heroin on Suboxone for 5 days. And that detox was kind of brutal. But they did it in 5 days. I was put on Suboxone for 8 months. And when you put on it once you're on Suboxone for over like a week, which I didn't know, my doctor didn't tell me, you get addicted to that, and it's harder to get off of than the original drug.
Right.
So why my doctor put it on for 8 months is because the government has allowed these standards to say, well, Suboxone's a maintenance drug, you can take it forever.
Yeah, well, like methadone is another one that
it's a maintenance drug
forever.
And they should be on it for about a week and get off of it and get off of everything.
Right. Right, and I don't know how it's become this way. Have you seen Mr. Robot, new series, Mr. Robot?
I thought you meant Mr. Robot Pants.
No. I haven't
actually seen it yet. But
it's very good. It's about hacking, but like the central character is addicted to Suboxone.
Yeah.
And part of what he's doing is keeping his habit up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The Suboxone was like, help me get off the drugs, but it's also an opiate, so it gives you sort of a, you know, it doesn't make you feel high, but you still feel good.
Yeah.
100% of this issue is United States of America, yeah?
Well, we consume.
Canada has a problem, too.
Yeah, we consume.
But it's like a first world.
We consume.
No, I don't even think it's Europe, right? It's us.
We represent 5% of the population. We consume 75 to 80% of the world's prescription drugs. That's where.
That sounds like it's 100% issue to me.
Yeah, it's pretty high. You know,
if the rest of the world's consuming whatever 25%, they're probably using that 25% for the right
problems. Yeah,
and here you have a lot of problems with people like knocking over pharmacies and robbing pharmacies. Like, you don't see that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't even know if they have regular pharmacies like that in Europe. I haven't been to Europe, but like where you just go and say, "Hey, I need fucking this."
In Europe, what's interesting is Europe, everything comes in a box. Like, you go into a supplement store and you buy a bottle off the shelf. That's how it is in Europe. They don't have, like, a pharmacist is like a middleman. Like, why do we need somebody to count out the drugs and put them in a thing? It's like, it's all money. It's all middlemen. And it's all, you know, like Europe, you go, oh, my doctor prescribed this. I go, okay, here's a box. You know, take this until it's done, you know.
Wow.
It's one of the issues, like there's, so many drugs coming out all the time, so much new shit that like nobody even knows what the fuck any of it does. Like restless leg syndrome drug. Like, you know, what comes first? Does somebody actually have problems with their legs and then they make a drug for it?
A lot of times they develop diseases.
Right.
Like metabolic syndrome. It's like, no, you're a fat fuck. Like, you don't have metabolic syndrome. So they give you glucophage, which is something bodybuilders have been taking for years to regulate. Mm-hmm. They give you like two or three different drugs, like regulate your blood sugar. But all you really need to do is eat and exercise. Yeah. Eat good and exercise.
All you need to do is train.
You know, now if people are severely obese and they're going to die, it's not bad to give them some drugs to get their weight down and continue with the lifestyle change. But we do so many things in this country that are all about the shortcut.
Same like with like type 2 diabetes, yeah. Like, yeah, you probably need some kind of pill to help regulate your sugar so you don't like lose your leg. But if you exercised and ate well, you probably don't need those pills.
It's the same problem as steroids. Like, it's like people just want a shortcut. They want an easier way.
Yeah.
And
faster
when,
more.
And we all know when people use steroids, like specifically as a shortcut, it doesn't usually work out good.
Right.
When people train their whole life and then use them to enhance what they have, later on, it's usually works out pretty good. But when people just use everything as a shortcut.
Steroids are actually our main sponsor, so I'd appreciate it if you kind of keep it a little bit more positive.
Well, I was actually referring to you, saying, you trained your whole life and you got really strong without them. Yeah. I mean, you were stronger than most guys without them. So, like, then it's like, okay, now it's time to take it to the next level. Like, let's be honest, there's only really one way to get to the next level. You're not going to see Silent Mike.
Creatine.
You're not going to see Silent Mike at the IPF Worlds.
Nope. IPF Worlds drug tested.
Yeah, but still, everybody passes, right?
Yeah. Somehow.
Somehow everybody passes.
Oh, really?
Except for our buddy Eddie Cohen.
Yeah. He got banned.
He got banned.
He didn't talk about that much when I tried to bring it up.
He mentioned it once, right?
He mentioned it. But Hagen wouldn't talk about it.
He mentioned it a bunch of times, kind of in passing when he said something. He's like, me and the IPF have nothing in common.
Something. Yeah, he's not IPF approved. He's not on their list.
That's great.
Hey, now.
And we're done. Borg, get the hell out of here.
Throw him out.
So what movies have you seen lately?
Hold on, one second. Before we get to that. So when you were coming off your addictions and stuff, you were like 250 pounds or so?
Yeah, I was pretty fat, yeah.
And then how fat are you now?
How tall are you,
5'4"? I weigh about 210 right now. I've been going between like 210 and 215. What happened was I lost a lot of weight, and I actually got like, it's funny, like too skinny.
Right.
Like my face was all drawn in, and like my shoulders were just completely gone, you know? And I also, what I did was actually like testosterone replacement therapy, through a doctor, you know, and I did that along with just like, the main thing was like getting off drugs, getting off alcohol and eating good. And I went on like a low carb diet and just, trained and took a little testosterone and that's about it.
You can plug your buddy. Go ahead. We can always edit it out if we need to.
What? Wellness, fitness, nutrition.
Sure,
wellness, fitness, nutrition store.com is where I go to get my hormone replacement therapy. And if you go to wellnessfitnessnutritionstore.com and you use CBEL10, you'll get a discount.
Oh, hey now.
Yeah, CBEL10. So I have my own discount code. But that company also
that's amazing.
They sponsor Ronnie Coleman. They sponsor Stan Efferding. They sponsor Flex Wheeler.
Hey, wait.
And they sponsor Mike Rashid.
Yeah.
So it's you know, everything there's, you know, on the up and up.
Hell yeah. It's awesome.
What's the up and up that's mean? That's like an old guy.
So
thing.
How'd you get from being so fat to less fat?
Mainly, besides
the therapy,
the war on carbs, you know, and learning how to manipulate that and use that. And so, for a while, I was doing like really high fat, eating like a lot of bacon and all these things, and it just felt shitty. It didn't feel good.
Because you're
42.
You're 42, so like maybe because you're getting older, maybe your metabolism's slowing down, and maybe. That amount of fat just was excess calories.
So I switched to different foods, like more like, you know, just like eggs and different things. And I just switched the foods up. But I actually read Dave Asprey's book, the Bulletproof Diet. And I wasn't like going by the Bulletproof Diet by any means, but I was doing a lot of grass-fed beef because what I read about grass-fed beef in his book sort of made sense. And I was doing a lot of, you know, just a lot of grass-fed beef and
better fat profile, better amino acid profile.
Yeah, and trying to eat fish, which I don't normally like, but I would just go get sushi and get like salmon and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's helped a lot, but it's hard. I didn't really do much cardio to get my weight down, but now I want to get my weight down more. I want to get like a lot leaner. I still have like a lot of body fat, and it's all from, you know, years of drinking.
Right.
So it's not going to go away in a day. And that's what I understand. And understanding that, I think, is a big – it's like the first part of saying you have a problem is admitting you have one, right? So it's like that's the thing is, like, I know it's not going to go away in a day. So I just need to do it longer. Like, I can't – like, every time I come up to see
that's
you –
That's what she said.
Yeah. Every time I come up to visit Mark, I sort of get pissed. I'm like – I look at him like – I'm like, dude, those veins in your arms are like goddamn ropes. So I look – you know –
Hey, buddy, we have the same genetics. You better fucking get on the ball here.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I see Stan Efferding, I'm like, Jesus, that guy's just fucking huge.
Fucking rhino.
Yeah, that guy's
bastard.
Huge. Like, I, you know,
big dick, all that, right?
Yeah. Huge.
Like a rhino.
God. He's also on that website. So.
Wait, N flip?
He's on N flip. S flip. So anyway,
rhino flip,
yeah, R flip,
rhino flip, dick
we're just,
flip.
We're just watching Supertrending.tv right now.
No, I had to turn that off.
What's that little dude doing?
Sunset flip. So anyway, when I see Mark, I get pissed because I know that we have the same genetics.
Yeah,
And I know at one point when he was like 16.
You're both 5'4". You're both.
Hey, you know. I'm actually, this is a deficit. That I'm on a deficit pit here.
Mm-hmm. There's a hole in the ground.
He's actually standing on.
Attention deficit deadlifts.
Yeah. Wow. I forgot how much I did. How much you do it then?
So every time I deadlift, it's like that.
ADD deadlifts.
Can't fucking pay attention.
Look, a puppy.
What?
All right. So you were a fat fuck. You're less of a fat fuck now. That story's over. Let's talk about movies.
Good.
Best movie of the summer? So far, I mean, the summer's still going.
Of the summer. I don't know if it was the summer.
But Ex Machina, you said.
Ex Machina, or Ex Machina.
I thought he was going to say Braveheart.
You know,
Ex Machina.
Braveheart. It just came out on Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I live in LA, and people go, oh, can I get two tickets at Ex Machina? And I'm like, is that how you say it? So I'm like, oh, Ex Machina. And like, oh, yeah, it's Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. There you go. There's another pronunciation.
Machete.
That's what I thought it was.
That's what.
Anyway, that movie.
Pretty sure that's what it is.
That movie's good. I liked it.
I didn't see it.
I still haven't seen it either.
Pretty fantastic. It's not like, it's not going to change your life forever, but
it's different.
It was really good. Like most movies, like I have to get up and pee 7 times, or on purpose I'll go like I got to go to the bathroom just to get the fuck out of here. And
pee on a keto stick real quick.
Yeah, that movie I had to pee twice and I didn't even get up.
You just peed your pants.
No, I peed back in the big soda cup.
Yeah. Extra large.
Yeah.
Big gulp.
Extra free refills. So I thought that movie was really good. I went and saw Jurassic World, which was sort of as planned. You know, just
entertaining
like,
enough.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah. What was the dinosaur called? Indominus Rex?
Yeah, Indominus Rex.
It's,
yeah.
Like, it's sort of like,
it's like a frog, chameleon, T-Rex,
no, that was
raptor.
The Unobtainium of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like the dumbest name for something. Like
right.
Indominus Rex. Here we go. So, saw that.
Penosaurus Rex.
San Andreas was the most laughable. Like, the writer should be put in prison.
Why is everyone going to go see it, though?
Wait, a pound me in the ass prison?
Yeah.
Everyone's going to see it.
It's like, hey, here comes a tsunami. Let's jump it in a boat. You know, like, just. Yeah. There was a lot of ridiculous stuff, but it was actually still at the end of the day. It's The Rock. He's awesome. And it was actually still kind of entertaining.
Visually, it was cool to watch?
Yeah, sort of.
Not even.
You still wanted to get the hell out of there. Oh.
You know? You're really back and forth with your reviews.
No,
you're it was really good. Actually, I want to get the hell out of there.
No, I said it was sort of entertaining.
Sort of entertaining.
No, I think he meant like he wanted to get away from the tsunami, I think is what he's talking about. But not necessarily leave the movie theater.
Yeah.
So have you seen the new Terminator yet?
I have not. I was actually going to go see it.
Yeah, we got to go so we can talk about it.
It's gotten some terrible, terrible reviews, but I enjoyed it.
I've heard.
And I'm a huge fan of T2.
Yeah.
Enormous fan of
T2. And Arnold is just
I'm on T3, actually, in T4. But anyway.
I don't get it.
Shut up.
T3, T4, then Klen.
Yeah.
So,
and Tren.
Klen and Tren.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the next sequels.
Mark and I talked about the internet. All they know is Tren.
Yeah, they say Tren.
Yeah.
They see somebody gets in shape. They're like, that guy's on Tren.
That's all the internet knows.
Yeah.
Anyway. What other movies?
I don't know.
Inside Out was good for the first half and the last half and then somewhere in the
middle. So give us some Pixar you do like.
Oh, like Toy Story? That's amazing.
Okay, all of them, right? All of them are pretty damn good.
They're all good. And
Incredibles.
Incredibles is really good. Incredibles. Those movies, I feel like they took so much time making those movies.
I don't know if it's Pixar, but Shrek.
Yeah. Shrek is
all that stuff's great. You know, like, that's DreamWorks.
Whatever.
Yeah, but I love all that stuff. Like the kids' movies are actually usually a lot better than the adult movies.
Yeah, why is that?
Because the stories are better. You
know, they put more thought into it.
Well, no, when you do a movie for children, you have to have the kids identify with a human character. And that's sort of an amazing thing that you don't get anywhere else. And you look at a, you know, adult movie, they just throw shit out there. And
adult movie?
Yeah.
What kind of business are you in? You mean like a regular
movie? For adults.
Yeah. You're really?
We're going to the moon.
So anyway.
Adult
porn
movie.
Shuttle.
I'm just used
what are you,
adult.
An adult movie director then?
Yeah.
Avengers was terrible.
Avengers was awful. I can't believe people liked it or.
The first third of it is particularly
Hey, what about
bad.
Ant-Man?
It kind of looks kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm into it.
See, Ant-Man might be okay because
Paul
it might
Rudd's
have,
funny.
I think
it just sounds
some,
so bad. Ant-Man,
it'll have some humor to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Paul
it has
Rudd's
some humor
amazing.
To it. It's okay, but it'll we'll be probably more, be back here talking about how bad it is.
Yeah,
like,
maybe
more like Guardians of the Galaxy.
I liked Guardians of the Galaxy a lot. That was one of the superhero movies I thought like, okay, well, it has a sense.
Nothing
of humor
goes over my head.
Yeah,
I think you just have a crush on Chris Pratt.
No, Batista.
Oh, Batista.
Oh, our waitress today was. Yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, the only reason I had this song is Chris Pratt. Now all I can picture is her as a home doing.
My wife's seeing Magic Mike 2 for the second time.
Whoa.
I think she thought the 2 means you have to see it twice.
She's that into it.
And my girlfriend went with them, so now I'm like.
Oh, they're seeing it right now?
Yeah.
That doesn't come midday with Magic Mike.
Midday Magic Mike with her mom, with Andy's mom. It's Whoa. Like, oh my God, I gotta see it.
It doesn't come with 3D glasses. It comes with a vibrator
and a champagne bottle.
Everyone just in there.
What's that noise in this theater? Yeah. So, it's got a little plug next to each seat. Yeah.
So you're saying if we can get Manganiello on the show, they'll be here. They'll be our studio audience.
Yeah, probably.
Saying. Oh, they would be. Right, yeah.
Maybe. You know, I'll go see
it. Joe Manganiello right loves a slingshot. He loves it. He thinks it's awesome. He said, I have, you know, warm up with the hip circle. I love, you know, I use a slingshot every bench workout. It really helps, you know, my shoulders and help me get stronger and all this.
He's pretty goddamn jacked.
Tell Andy. All right, all right. Andy was so excited about it. She's like, oh, my God, Tom will send him whatever he wants. Million tons
Just
of
as
it.
Long as he sends us one pair of his underwear.
They got to be used.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Or is
and Kevin Nash States is in it, too. And Kevin underwear. Nash has been around Golds lately, you know?
Yeah.
Walking around.
That's big sexy.
Is that Steve Nash's brother? Or?
No. Oh. He's actually tall enough to play basketball.
Yeah, he's like seven. Well, he's close to 7 feet.
He's seven feet tall, yeah. He's 7 feet tall. He's like, I don't know how much he
weighs
now.
Is he in his 50s?
Yeah, he's 55.
He's fucking jacked.
He's really jacked. He's in the best shape really of his life.
Mark's getting really excited about Magic
Mike now. All these guys are so jacked. Oh, my God.
Remember Vince McMahon? He's like, oh, man, this guy's really put together.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's just so...
Oh, yes. Look at him come to the ring. He's really put together.
Yeah.
Oh, what 260 pounds of...
What a physique.
The warlord.
Hercules Hernandez.
Look at the warlord. Yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah, it's like you got so into it. You're like, all right, Vince. Just
well, that's how you realize in the WWE why it was so out of control with all the steroids and stuff back in the day. Because that was something Vince was like, he was a fan of. Like, I want everybody to be huge.
Big jacked guys.
Why not? You got to look
at they were fans of it.
And he's still pretty jacked.
There's some slobs in the WWE right now.
Yeah, I know.
I'll turn that shit on. Their guys run around the ring in the Speedo, and I was like, you guys are so gross
looking. The reason there is they really do drug tests.
I know, but that is no excuse.
Yeah.
Some of them may get a free pass here and
there. It's hard, though. It's hard to, like, I mean, these guys got
pretty. Couple guys.
That's no excuse.
Like Ryback or something? Like, he's huge, but, like. I don't know. He was wrestling the Big Show the other day. He looked like a baby. So
yeah,
fun.
I saw him try to pick huge. Up the Big Show, and the Big Show just sat
you
on his
you
ass.
You don't realize how big the Big Show is because you just see it, when you see him by himself. Then you see him against some of these guys.
Yeah. So someone like the Big Show can't get like a six pack.
We saw the Big Show backstage at a show. He was smoking and eating a donut. Right? It was amazing. It was like, if you're that big, do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, well, like body's a temple.
He's not going to get like a six pack and stuff. But some of the guys like 6 foot or under, I don't care if you're on shit or not. Like you could look better.
Yeah.
Big Show used to be a hell of an athlete. Used to
it all depends like if it goes with your character. Like so Mike Rotundo's son is Bray Wyatt. Mike Rotundo used to
yeah,
be
yeah,
a,
yeah. Yeah, he's champion. Supposed to be kind of gross.
Well, Bray Wyatt if he like all of a sudden got in awesome shape, it would be like weird.
But still
but since he started out the way he did, he's like who cares?
There's just way too many guys with that physique in the WWE right now.
Yeah, and
back in the day there was like Triple H, The Rock was
Seth Rollins is in good shape and he's gotten bigger, over the years.
Roman Reigns
and Seth Rollins is a CrossFit guy. He does CrossFit.
Roman Reigns is pretty jacked.
Yeah, he's jacked.
Roman Reigns he's big and then who knows if this new kid Neville, he's kind of short, but he's got like an amazing physique. He does all sorts of crazy maneuvers.
The man that gravity forgot.
Yeah, that's what they call him.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's a good name. That's a good basketball name.
Hops all over the place. He's incredible to watch.
Yeah, and that stuff's interesting, and that's what wrestling should be.
Yeah, like the Hardy Brothers.
Yeah.
They were amazing.
Yeah, flying off the top rope, killing each other.
Weird hair.
Ladder matches, table, ladder chairs.
They both had a lot of problems with prescription drugs. And
yeah, that's common in the wrestling world.
Well, no, what's really sad about the WWE and wrestling in general is like, so the WWE put this like strict drug testing thing in place. And then all of a sudden, all these guys that still wanted to do drugs, they just went to TNA or whatever other league there was.
Tits and ass? What's that?
It's called TNA. Total Nonstop Action is what they claim it is. But that's the thing. Guys like Kurt Angle and these guys, they left because they weren't allowed to do drugs anymore.
Fuck this. These rules are stupid. I'm out of here.
Well, it's just terrible that the other federation didn't implement the same thing and just, you know, put a stronghold on it. But that's business, you know?
Yeah. So have you been watching The Rock's new series?
Ballers.
Yeah. Have you noticed that, like, he seems to have, I'm guessing, a prescription drug problem, a painkiller problem.
The Rock does?
The character
in
does.
Yeah, in the movie.
In the show.
Yeah, he's been popping shit.
Yeah, he pops pills every once in a while. Yeah. But they haven't really made note of it yet.
You see it.
I see it, like, he opens a bottle, like, boom, and the Land Rover does what he's doing. Yeah. And he's been, The Rock is, I think, like, me and Mark were talking about this. It's a great vehicle for him to have a TV show on HBO. And I hear that after episode 4, it gets a lot better. Because I watched a pilot and I was like, eh. And then I watched the next one. I'm like, oh, it's kind of like catching on.
This last one was funny.
Watch the third one, and all of a sudden, I'm into it now.
The party
I think
was funny.
Hopefully that by the fourth, fifth one, you know, when it does pick up. And
I know why you liked it now. There was tits for the first time, I believe, in this episode.
No, there was tits in the pilot.
Oh, all right.
There was a girl like banging. And I remember my girlfriend going, imagine that's your role, like in the TV show. Like you finally get cast in something.
She's like, how do I get involved?
You're like banging some guy and that's all you're doing. Like, and then you got to tell your parents, hey, I'm going to be on Ballers. Yeah.
That's like Game of Thrones.
I'm the one getting balls.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, they have so many of those actresses. Just bang somebody and then leave.
Yeah, there's a lot of tits on Game of Thrones.
Well,
yeah,
the first couple of years was a whole lot of gratuitous nudity, and now they've cut back on it, which makes
gratuitous nudity was huge in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like in every
Vacation.
Movie. Yeah, every movie's just like, okay.
Isn't there Vacation 2 coming out? Yeah.
No, it's called Vacation Movie, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But it looks like same premise.
That guy's funny.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the son all grown up.
But it's not a National Lampoon movie. Is it?
I think it is.
I didn't say it was. No. I'm interested to see the movie with Cena. I think it'll be funny.
I think he has a tiny role, but it'll be funny. LeBron James.
He has a decent size role, from what I know. And I remember he was so excited about
Brainwreck.
Yeah, he was really excited about shooting it.
Yeah,
and he had said like, "Oh, this is really going to be different for me," and that's cool. I think that him doing those kind of roles that are a little different.
LeBron has a big part in it. I think. Yeah, he plays like the best friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, like as himself. Yeah,
oh, that's cool. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be funny.
He plays who's best friend?
Some chick, that's like a manonizer or whatever. Black Widow, somebody told me is the name. Yeah.
Bill Hader's in it. I love
Bill Hader.
Yeah, so I think he's Bill Hader's best friend.
Bill Hader is a big fan of Bigger, Stronger, Faster.
Really?
Oh, yep. I could tell by his rampant steroid use.
He's jacked. He just really liked it.
Not as big of a hater as I thought.
Wow.
But are we going to eat lunch or something?
We should.
Film some deadlifts?
I'm stopped.
Favorite food, Boar?
My favorite food?
Boar?
Boar hog
steak.
What kind? What cut?
From cut.
What cut? You're a ribeye guy.
Yeah, ribeye, like a bone-in ribeye.
Yeah, ribeyes are good.
Fuck bone-in
good.
Ribeye,
mashed potatoes on the side.
But from cut, which you have to go to.
Oh, we've been.
You went right
in Vegas.
You got a. Didn't you guys get a 400-pound,
$400?
$400 steak.
Yeah, whatever smell he ordered.
We got 400-pound bitches is what we got.
No, it was an 80-ounce steak for four people, right?
Yeah,
right.
Some Brazilian something. Yeah,
Brazilian
it was,
wax.
It was a Brazilian
and
monkey.
And you
steak.
Had it too, right? You posted it, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was delicious.
Yeah, we should go again. I'm in LA next week.
Cubby's like, this is delicious. I didn't pay a dime for it.
It was
exactly.
It was all that shit was good, and they brought all those appetizers
and
oh yeah, and then the desserts.
Yeah,
well, yeah. That's so. My friend Lee Hefter is a chef, and he's Wolfgang Puck's partner. He owns Cut, so Cut in Vegas. He goes all over the world. It's amazing. And you know what?
Opening up more. He said,
you know what? I asked him something because it's amazing about great people and what they do. And this goes to what we were talking about: people that are great at what they do. It's like I went up and asked him. I said, "Where did you learn how to cook?" And he said, "Where did Picasso learn how to paint?"
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I said, I asked him what school he went to.
Yeah.
What school did you go to learn how to cook? He goes, where did Picasso go to paint?
I'm like, he just compared himself nowhere. To Picasso?
Yeah. he can. I mean, the fucking place is so good.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, let's go. I'm there next week. We'll bring Bart Kwan.
He can pay.
Mr. Bart Kwan.
He can pay.
Well, the manager.
He's got a lot of YouTube followers. He can pay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's got a nice car, too, by the way. We didn't talk about that when he was here.
Yeah, but, off air.
Yeah, the manager at Cut in Vegas like gave us all his cards. Like, just, you know, if you ever need anything.
You know what's like, weird? They're all like a lot of these chefs. We met a chef in New York, actually, the hotel Mike stayed at. And there a lot of them are into CrossFit for some reason.
Yeah.
And
it's great.
I don't know. Maybe because there's a lot of grass-fed meat around somewhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of meat around.
a lot of meat. You can be fat as a chef really easily.
Yeah.
Or you can be really, really skinny. Those are kind of the options.
I think the truth of it, though, is when you get into like gourmet food, a lot of times it's you know, it could be like really rich and have tons of fat in it too. But I think people don't like the food to be watered down, so they just cook it like, you know, kind of as is and don't throw a ton of shit on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, anybody can make like.
I remember I asked Lee. I said, "What's the best marinade for steak?" And he just looked at me. He goes, "What?" He goes, "You don't marinate a good piece of meat." Right. He's like, he started going in all into this. I was like, "Well, I'm sorry, I asked."
Yeah, maybe like a rib or maybe a
no,
little
he's like,
bit of
you
butter.
You don't marinate a good steak. No
a
way.
A little butter on that bitch.
Oh yeah,
that's fucking great. Most embarrassing song that we would find on your phone.
The most embarrassing song.
Mark's Katy Perry. Mark's got Katy Perry.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
I think Man in the Mirror.
That's not that
Man
bad.
Man in the Mirror.
That's not bad.
That's Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, sometimes I put that song on and I kind of get fired up. I'm like, gonna make a change.
Like, that's great.
You know, lifting, I'll get, like,
singing to yourself.
Yeah, cranking like, in the car, tears coming out of your eyes, hair blown in the wind.
I just get kind of pumped to it. You know?
He's good. I like Michael Jackson. Yeah. We're just watching.
You might find some embarrassing songs in there that weren't there on purpose.
Like, that's not mine. I don't understand how that.
Adult songs?
That must be free. It must have, like, when I uploaded my new thing.
That did happen, though. I downloaded something on, like, one of my, one iPod you were buying at some point. It comes with U2 album.
U2, yeah.
I was like, I don't fucking want, and you can't, like, delete it.
That's a scam, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want a fucking U2 on my iPod. I don't listen to that shit.
That's great.
Did you ever see the episode of South Park where they do, like, the world's biggest shit?
Oh, my God.
And it was, like, Stan's father took the world's biggest shit, but then Bono showed up, and he was the world's biggest piece of shit. So he beat it out. They were like, oh, hey, Bono's here. Oh, he's the biggest piece of shit.
Speaking of South Park, I saw Book of Mormon
a
few weeks ago. It's fucking amazing if you ever get the opportunity to
see it. Yeah, I want to see that, yeah.
So good. Oh, my God.
My roommate from college is the editor on South Park. Like,
oh, really?
The editor, David List. Yeah.
Does he want to do, like, a cartoon of us?
Yeah, he would love
it. A weightlifting cartoon?
It's amazing, though, because he brought me in the studio and showed me, like, how they put together the episodes.
Uh-huh.
It's just kind of an amazing thing, you know. They do it in 6 days or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. There's a
documentary on it, 6 days to air.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a really good documentary.
Crazy.
Who did you say walked like South Park the other day?
Robot.
Oh, yeah, Robot. Like, he shuffles around.
Yeah. Mr. Robot.
He walks like South Park.
Yeah, he does. Oh. He does. He shuffles away.
He would be the funniest character on Robot.
I left Lauren alone with Robot for about 5 minutes yesterday. And then, Lauren's like, that was so awkward.
How long was it?
It's like about 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, he came like four times.
So, yeah, 4 minutes longer than you?
Jesus. She's like, after you left, like, we're having this conversation, and after you left, and then it just became weird.
Yeah, well, of course it did.
Robot Pants.
Mister.
It became weird as Robot's middle name.
Yeah, he's great, though.
What's up with Lauren? How long you guys been together?
Maybe a year and a half.
Oh, don't fuck this up.
Not like a year and a half. Like, I don't know, maybe. No, because so I met her, and I wasn't sober, and she was the only person that I felt I could talk to about it. Like, she was just so easy to talk to and easy going. And I think also in your head, you're like, okay, I'm going to push her out. Now, like, I'm going to get rid of her so I can go drink. And I was like, well, I don't really want to do that anymore. You know, that's what I do.
Is like, listen, I'm fat, I got bad breath, and I drink a lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I'm in. Sounds great.
Pretty much.
Let's order pizza.
She gave me a mint and said, go get better. No, she just said, well, what are we going to do about it? I said, well, you know, I'm just not going to drink anymore.
What do you mean we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for 7 days, I didn't drink. And then that seventh day, like, she went to go to the grocery store. And since I didn't drink in 7 days, your tolerance goes down really fast. So I drank more than I ever drank before all at once. And I ended up going to the hospital. That's the day that she called you. And so I went to the hospital, and it was just so embarrassing going to the fucking hospital because you drank too much. I mean, you know, and I'm 42 years old. It's like ridiculous. So I was like, hey, it's time to call. And just, like, seeing the look on her face and your face and, you know, mom and dad's face, it's just so fucking embarrassing. It's like, what did I do? And then you realize, you know what? It's not really that embarrassing. It's just something that happened. And if I fix it, it's not embarrassing anymore. It doesn't matter. I can joke about it all.
Yeah, I think everyone's, like, overly maybe it's justified, but I think everyone's always so worried about, you know, letting other people down, other people are going to think. And all people wanted to see is for you to get better, situation it is. That's all anybody's. No one really cares that much when people slip up, you know, here and there. It's like, it's not like, not like you're going to get, like, disowned. It can be frustrating when someone goes down that road 9,000 times.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the program and people I'm around that, you know, like, a really good friend of mine, she was in Cliffside, Malibu with me. And then I saw her at Sundance and she was running, like, a party thing. Shit. And I'm like, why are you running this thing? Like, you shouldn't be involved
in
this.
Playing with fire.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, she's not sober anymore, and she's back in California and back in rehab. And it's just sad to see that because she's, like, such a nice person and such a good person with so much. She's a really pretty girl. She has so much fucking potential, and you're like, you just go, like, why, you know, why are you doing this? You're only 22 years old or something.
Right.
So you see that a lot, and you see people keep coming back and keep coming back. But the fact that they keep coming back is actually the most important thing. It's if they go away and they don't come back, then they're fucked, you know.
Yeah.
It's got to be a great place to meet women.
Oh my God, they're
self-esteem, right? They got to do anal and everything, right?
Yeah. So self-esteem is down there. You know, so Richard Tate, the guy that owns my rehab, when he was like setting up the sober living house. They're like, this is great. You can have bitches here. And, and we're like, dude, you're supposed to like be running, you know, the thing. And he was just, he was amazing. And the fact that he was so disarming in the fact that like he would just talk about the craziest things,
right.
You know, that you were, it made you able to open up and talk about anything. He goes, when you can't find something big enough for a hooker to stick up your ass, that's when you know you got to get sober, because there's just nowhere else to go from there.
Yeah.
And he's dead fucking serious. And
hey,
just,
we've all been there.
Yeah. And you,
who are we kidding?
You laugh, you know, and then you're sort of able to open up and just say, right. Hey, you know, I had a hooker stick a piece of furniture up my ass.
So,
a piece of fruit.
Tell us more of that story.
Yeah, hey, hang on.
Oh, really?
Furniture.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Oh, really?
I told him about it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you never told me. Yeah.
It's like every once in a while you'll tell somebody something and they're like, oh, really? And you're like, why did that come out so gay?
Yeah, it sounds so awkward.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it gets all serious.
He had a couple "oh reallys" in the Ed Cohn video.
He's
like, "Oh Ed, when did you start?" "Oh, yeah, started." "Oh really?"
It gets all serious and homosexual real quick.
That's like you walking in today, speaking British all morning.
Oh yeah,
walking in like Harry Potter.
That was
old rugby days.
Yeah, rugby and FIFA.
FIFA's good.
That's what makes it even more.
You can hate soccer and love FIFA.
Yeah, that was great.
FIFA's a great game.
Yeah, it's now, but now they become too complicated.
Soccer's not as complicated. Madden, man, it really does get complicated as shit.
Hockey, when you used to be able to wreck the guy's head. And
yeah, they don't even fight anymore.
Nah, boring.
We don't even fight
anymore. The old Nintendo hockey was great. You had a fat guy, a skinny guy, a medium guy.
And then when you had your manager
team.
The
fat guy was slow, but he was strong. You know, and each guy had their own
simple
attributes.
It's so beautiful.
And you had to manage your guys. Like,
and the skinny guy couldn't fight the fat guy. Yeah. He'd get his ass kicked.
So you're like, who do I put in? I got to, you know.
Yeah, how simple
you only got five guys to pick. So
strategies.
I mean, the best strategy to pick, a medium guy, fat guys.
No one wants to
guys.
Pick any medium guys, but you need a couple of them in there.
Yeah.
Someone's got to be average.
You need some guys that are in-betweeners there. All right. We got anything else to fucking talk about, or are we good?
Well, I don't know. You tell me. You're in charge here.
Well, no one's listening at this point, so it doesn't really.
If we have any more information on prescription thugs,
Yeah, we can
post
it. At
the point
it.
That this
Absolutely.
Comes out, we'll post it. If not, people just watch our stuff. It's not like, you know.
Well, actually, when Prescription Thugs comes out, I know Horseshoe, who's in the look, bro.
Yeah.
He totally wants to come up here and be on the podcast.
That would be
I told
amazing.
Him that we could when it comes
out.
Yeah,
awesome. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Well, him and Mark go way back from the wrestling days, too.
You got the movie. It's getting distributed, right, to some
Samuel
cities.
Goldwyn Films. You know, I've been lucky in the fact that, like, you know, I've been able to get these films distributed, like Bigger, Stronger, Faster. I was fine during that, but when I did Trophy Kids, I was kind of fucked up.
Right.
When I did Prescription Thugs, I was pretty fucked up. And through it all, like that's what shows me, like, you should keep doing this. Is like, if I can do that fucked up and sell two movies, one to HBO.
Yeah, what can you do
one
sober?
What can I do sober? The sky's the limit, you know?
Didn't I see recently that Trophy Kids is available and
yeah, it's
Somewhere
gonna be
else.
Well. It'll be available. I think it's available on Roku.
Okay.
But I don't speak Japanese, so I don't know what that is.
I don't know. Either.
And I
isn't
think
that a character in Street Fighter?
And it'll be available everywhere. I think August 1st, maybe.
Okay.
Available on iTunes and everything else. I'll post it when it.
Yeah, it's a good watch.
Where are you gonna post it
for sure?
I don't know. And
your
Instagram,
Facebook,
Instagram.
Yeah,
what is that?
Big Strong Fast.
Hit us.
My Instagram.
Yeah, hit away, buddy.
It's at Big Strong Fast.
There you go. It'll be there.
At Big Strong Fast.
And your Twitter, too, right? Same.
Is that what you call your little guy?
My Twitter? My little Twitter?
No.
Any,
at my Big little Strong tweeter. Fast.
Yeah, it can't be all three at once.
Oh, my God.
It could. Big Strong and Fast?
Oh, yeah.
Kano. Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
I think we're going to call this episode, Oh, Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at? At Big Strong Fast. Oh, really?
Oh, really? Big Strong Fast, huh?
Hey. Hey, now.
Hey, big guy.
Anybody who's listening to this drunk, or high, or combination thereof, you got any kind of closing statement to them, on what they should do?
Yeah, like if something's affecting your life and you need to get help, the easiest way to do it at first is just to talk to somebody that you actually really do trust. If you don't have anybody that you do trust, You can just go on the internet, look up AA, go to an AA meeting, walk in. You could walk in there drunk with a cigarette hanging out of your mouth and a hooker on your arm, and nobody's going to even – like, people have seen worse, so yeah. Nobody gives a fuck. Like, that's what I thought. I was always like, man, I'd like to get help, but I can't go to an AA meeting because, like, that's for fucking losers, and I don't want to walk in there. And it's not for losers. The people that I'm in AA with are some of the most successful people in Los Angeles.
Yep.
Like, the most successful CEOs, movie stars, all these people. And they're in there, and there's no reason why, you know, you can't be in there and get help, too.
Because they've taken steps to not let that affect their lives and careers. And
exactly. And some of the people, like, you meet – like, you go into a meeting and somebody's like, yeah, man, I'm 25 years sober. And it's like, why the fuck you're here? Why are you here?
They're there for me.
Yeah. They're there for the guy who has less than a year or a year. They're there to help you.
That's what military people kind of always say. And if you haven't been in the military, then you have a hard time understanding that. Like, why the fuck would I be here for you?
But the thing that I learned about all this, and it's humbling, and it's also awesome, and the fact that I learned, this is the same thing that Mark does. It's the same thing that, you know, I've always thought, but I never really had it reinforced. The 12th step of AA, there's 12 steps, you know. You get to the 12th step, and the 12th step is, if you've gone through the 12 steps and you've gotten to this point, your purpose now is to go teach somebody else. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, if you can bench press 500 pounds, your purpose now is to go teach somebody else how to do it. If you can make
a movie,
why
am I only benching 350?
Well, because it takes time, man.
It's more about you than
it takes time. But if you notice, like, Mark helps everybody. Like, he that's what he does.
He
spends a lot of money making YouTube videos and puts them out for free. Like, that's kind of a cool, you know, unique thing. And that's what I take example from, is like, now it's time for me. Like, I'm working on a documentary right now about strongman.
Right.
And my friend Justin Solheim came to me and he said, hey, I want to do this movie. And Mark actually helped us out with some funding right off.
Sponsorship.
Yep. Sponsorship right off the front. And the thing is, like, he came to me and wanted to make this movie. He said, but I want you to direct it because I don't know what I'm doing, man. I'm like, dude, I don't know anything about strongman. You know every guy. You're friends with these guys. You actually competed in the sport. You're going to direct it. I'm going to help you. And that's what I'm doing, helping guide somebody through making their dream come true. Like, why not? You know,
by the way, anybody, you know, who's in the strength game, you know, everybody should try to support that in whatever way they can, whether it's just going to Facebook and looking it up or checking it out on Instagram. There's not enough stuff like this being made. You're not going to see it ever unless it gets the support that it needs. That's the reason why I backed it up.
It's called Strong Documentary Film is the Facebook page.
I think it's Instagram. Strong Doc, maybe.
Yeah, Strong Documentary Film, I think it is.
Yeah, it's going to have, like, Eddie Hall and Brian Shaw and a lot of these characters that you see on TV.
We haven't confirmed Brian Shaw, but we're hoping that we nail him down.
He'll come through.
Yeah, I think.
He just got married.
Yeah. We shot a little bit of Eddie Hall. We shot a little bit of Jerry Pritchett, which is kind of amazing. The guy deadlifted like 900 and something pounds.
Just recently. Yeah,
He weighs like 345. But these guys are so big. Like, when Brian Shaw's in this one interview, he goes, I'm about 6'8", and right now I weigh about 415. He's all like, mellow. Yeah, and just the nicest, most polite person. You're like, this guy's a fucking monster.
Sick athlete.
And the way Brian Shaw got into Strongman is amazing. He was at a strength and conditioning event, and he was going to go play football for the Arizona State. Yeah. And so he's going to check out their strength and conditioning, and he's at this, like, seminar. And Soren, what's the older – the dad?
Bert,
is it?
I don't know the older one.
Soren, the father, you know, that makes the Soren X everything. So he was there.
I think it is Bert.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, he's amazing. So they had this, like, Thomas – it's called the Thomas Inch Dumbbell, the inch dumbbell.
Right.
And it's this big-ass thick dumbbell, and it weighs 172 pounds, I believe.
I think it's like 3 inches or something in circumference, or four.
Anyway, Brian Shaw was
like, but I don't know what 3 inches looks like.
The guy, you know, he's talking to people, like Bert Soren's talking to people. He's like, oh, this is like, you know, only 6 men in history have done this and lifted this up. And Brian Shaw came over and lifted it right up over his head and said, what's so hard about that? And put it down. And then he went to walk away, and the guy's like, get over it. Who are you? You know, like, get the...
Yeah, what a freak.
And basically talked Shaw into going, you know, going into strongman rather than playing football, which is probably a better move for him because he's won 3 of them already.
Mm-hmm.
He may be the best of all time. You know, time will tell.
Yeah, what would he have done in football, though?
Kill people.
Yeah, I think he played D1 basketball.
Yeah, I think he played.
But, you know, but like playing pro football is really hard. Maybe he wouldn't have made it in there. And if he did make it in there,
he's the best guy in strongman.
He's the best, yeah.
I think that's all the time we got for today, unless you guys got any other questions. We're all good. Nope. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle, and may all your shits be tapered. I'm at Mark Smelly Bell on Twitter and Instagram.
Try not to fart.
Try not to fart.
You can find me at Silent Mike with 2Ks on Instagram and Twitter.
I'm Jim McD, STTV, everywhere that I would want you to find me. Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast, Twitter at STJimSack, Facebook.com/SupertrainingJim. And we're out.
Thank you.
Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of SuperTraining.com.